You will direct your thoughts for a few moments this evening to Psalm 122. Psalm 122 and verse 1. A well-known psalm, really. And yet, oh, to really come into the experience of it, as it is opened up in that first verse, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. Oh, great mercy, dear friend, if you and I can say I was, not they were. Indeed, whoever it was that wrote this psalm, I know in the title it says the Psalm of David, but there are many who feel that this was written by one of those from the 10 tribes who were either in exile or hastening to it, longing to come and return again unto the house of God. Whatever it be, different, that doesn't matter. This will be the experience, the desire, the exercise of the soul that's taught of God. A soul that's quickened. There will be that longing to be in God's house. It is a mark. You remember we read in the prophecy of Jeremiah, they have not the spots of thy children. Well, dear friend, one of the spots is this. A living soul. A soul that's taught of God. A soul that's born again will have this mark. They will long to be in the house of God. What a difference it will make when there's something of this desire. This was a love to his house that is expressed. David did express it, whether it was he that wrote this or not, different. He oft did express it, though. That was his greatest desire, to be found in that house of God. In Psalm 42, we find that there, the servant of God puts it this way. I think it was the fourth verse there. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. Oh, he remembered the times. And this definitely was by David, when he could not go up. No doubt when he was being pursued by Saul. I remember these things. I remember. I pour out my soul. I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. With a voice of joy and praise. With the multitude that kept holy day. Oh, he remembered those sacred times. The holy days. The voice of joy and praise. And ought that not to be the very purpose in our coming up to the house of God? To keep the holy day. To come with the voice of joy and praise. Into his courts with thanksgiving and with praise, we are told. So David knew something then of that path. You remember a little bit later, he writes in Psalm 55. Of the time that he went up, and this no doubt was with Ahithophel actually, but he remembered something wonderful. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. And dear friend, what a wonderful thing when that is known. When we, in our little way, can go with those up to God's house in company. We walk together. They converse together. They spake of those things touching the king. Oh, their heart was strengthened by each other's conversation and walk and blessing. A few chapters later in chapter 63. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in the dry and thirsty land to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Oh, different, there was a time he knew something of the power of God in his house. The power of his word that came down into his soul. Oh, those were times that David remembered. And he loved them. He loved to think on them. And I believe it will be so with those who are truly led of God, taught of God. There will be those times. It's not that they have it every time they come up to God's house. They can only wish it were so. They find the greater part of the time it's not quite like that. But there are those times. I think it's Phil Part who speaks of it. There are those few times when they have really felt it in the house of God. When the Word of God came and had such power. It took hold of them. It arrested them. Oh, it was a Word that remained with them. Different. That's when the Word is with power. When you go away and you can't forget it. It's got such a hold of you. I was glad. Oh, that's why he was glad then. He hoped that every time coming up, there might be something of that effect. When he came into the house of God and heard his word. Oh, I was glad when they said. Again, going back just a few chapters to the 84th chapter. We didn't read that one tonight. But it touches upon the same theme as what we found in all the chapters that we did read this evening. But in that 84th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." Oh, this was a longing in his heart. It was a pain that he felt. And coming down to verse 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I'd rather take the lowest place. I'd rather be in that place so obscured that no one else saw than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go." But all different about that gladness. What a wonderful thing it is if you find that same word glad coming down to chapter 126 in the third verse there. "The Lord hath done great things for us whereof we are glad." Oh, you see, dear friend, it's the thing God has done that make his people glad. Oh, whenever he comes to bless his word, whenever he comes to build up his people, whenever he comes in some measure to set a soul at liberty, we are glad. Whenever he is pleased to raise up those pillars in the church of God, when he's pleased to raise up those to stand as watchmen upon Zion's walls, oh, then we are glad. I was glad. Oh, there's many things that we could say will make us glad, but it's all the Lord's doing. The Lord's work that makes these people glad. There are many today, they're made glad by all sorts of other things. If there's some wonderful choir, they might be made glad, but it's a carnal gladness. Or if their ears are itched, if they're entertained in a carnal way, then they're glad. But a living soul cannot be glad with those things. He must be glad with the work of God himself. A work that is so strikingly powerful. I have seen thy power. To see thy power as I have seen it in the sanctuary. I was glad. Ah, but you see, what made him glad as well was when the people said, "Let us go." And what a wonderful thing. What a most blessed thing. When one can say to another, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." You see, this is a thing that God has promised His people would know of. There's a beautiful word in the opening chapter of Isaiah. And Isaiah was a man who had to prophesy to the Lord's people some very solemn things in the opening chapters. But he does speak of this in the second chapter. And many people shall go and say, "Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob." Now, it wasn't just going up. It was what would be done there. And He will teach us of His ways. And we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And when I think of how that was promised, and we find the Lord fulfilling it for the returning exiles in Jeremiah 31, where we read in that most striking word, "For there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the house of our God." For those souls in exile, 70 years of it, that day was a long time coming. But when the watchman could say, when there was a word that came forth out of from Mount Ephraim, "Arise and let us go up." Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." See, to find that the house of God was his chief joy. But is it ours? What makes souls glad when they go up to the house of God? First, His divine presence. If ever that is perceived, what a most sacred, blessed, heavenly thing. When they can come to the end of their worship and say, "Jehovah Shammah, the Lord was there." I believe, dear friends, we have been favored to say that from time to time. That the Lord was there. Would to God it could be all the time. But all different if from time to time. We may perceive it. And you know, it's something that's so personal. It might be that there's only one that may perceive it. On a particular time. But the Lord has come to him. Or her. But it is a wonderful thing when our hearts flow together to the goodness of the Lord. Oh, that's the chief reason why they are glad in the house of God. Oh, they come now to meet together to worship Him. To draw near to their God. Oh, that will make one glad. If he's truly favored to draw near. To approach unto the Most High. Call upon his name. But you see, there's something else that David speaks of that makes them glad. And that is because of what takes place. Jerusalem, that's the city of God, is builded. It's a city that's built. And it's built by some of the most unlikely characters. The Lord takes the roughest stones. And he begins to smooth and polish them and fit them and prepare them to put them in his house. And oh, that makes one glad. When we see one who has been running in such ways of sin and now beginning to inquire after God, to seek him, to come near. And we see the work of grace. Man, they won't see it yet, but others will. Oh, then are we glad. I was glad. Oh, when we want the Lord to make us glad in such a way. But see something else about this city being built. It's built compact. I like that word, compact. The opposite is that which is apart. Oh, it's a poor church that's being built apart. But when the building being built compact, the Lord compressing them together is what it means. They're compressed together. They're made one. One in heart and spirit. This is the city that's being come. Oh, we will be glad then when the Lord does that for His people. Oh, wonderful work of God it is. And then too, see, He takes therefore those characters that once we might call were Satan's strongholds, and now they become the objects of His grace, and they become those trophies of sovereign grace. Oh, what trophies they are then. Oh, we're glad when the Lord does that. I was glad when they said unto me, oh, again, are not we glad when the Lord compasses us about with walls and bulwarks? What are the walls and bulwarks? It's His Spirit and His Word. Those two things together. And the Lord compasses about His people with them. Oh, then are we glad before the Lord. Oh, but dear friend, how wonderful when we know a little too of something of the Lord manifesting His great work. And this, when He brings His people together in prayer. And their prayers are one. And I believe, dear friend, we've known of that. When the brethren have been praying, yes, dear friend, they might bring forth different expressions, but there's a oneness in the prayer. A unitedness. Oh, this makes us glad when the Lord does that. Ah, you see, here again is something of that blessing of the Lord. You see, there's a people now that's being formed to show forth His praise. Oh, dear friend, that makes one glad when we perceive a little of that. A people that are a peculiar people. A pardoned people. Oh, they're glad. I must be very brief, but again, when I think of what makes them glad, I believe we could say this, dear friend, it's because it's so rare. The greater part of the multitudes of people never come into this experience. They will never taste it. That's clear all around us. It's been clear in every age. What a rare thing it is to see something of God's work in a soul whereby they come in this way and are made glad. But oh, are you and I one of them that He's made glad in that way? To see something now of His blessing for such a sinner. Oh, guide of fun. We are glad when we perceive something of God's right way. Because by nature, we've gone all sorts of other ways. But His divine commandments made no one. And that divine commandment regarding the place where He will meet with His people, a chosen place, oh, divine, His people will be glad in it when they're brought there. Ah, oh, but especially they will be made glad by the renewings. The renewings of His visits. When from time to time the Lord causes the chains to fall off. Remember Peter in the prison, bound with all those chains. But when the Lord came, the chains fell off and Peter walked out. And how often the Lord's dear people feel like that, bound with chains. Yes, even after grace, until the Lord comes and loosens those chains again. Chains of guilt that they're oftentimes so overcome with bowed down with. They need the Lord to come and deliver them from those chains. Oh, but that will make them glad, to be sure. Or again, those who are bowed down with sorrows. Sorrows for very many different reasons. But oh, different when the Lord comes to assuage those sorrows, to come and comfort them, then are they glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Lastly, oh, there's times when in the house of God, as people find that the cross is sweetened. The cross, which seems so often heavy, seems so unbearable. But oh, when the Lord visits, the cross then becomes sweet again. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.